And welcome to the latest episode of Gaming Disassembled. I'm your host, Night Avoa, and with us, and feeling better, which is good, is J-Dot.
Yeah, I was really kind of disappointed in myself there that I didn't save up, like, a large grotesque burp as my reply to that.
Wow. Well, I'm sure the listeners are sad and disappointed as well.
Right, they're totally bummed. But that's been basically my weekend. Everything between my tits and my knees has just been out of... So I'm mostly glad to be here too, because it means that I've achieved some semblance of normalcy again.
All right. Yes. Yeah, see, we bring peace to people's ears and their bowels.
Yes.
That's what we do. we're the bowel peacekeepers. It's good to have you. It's good to have you back and feeling better here. And start off the show here. One of the biggest things that happened, I guess, last year or at the tail end of last year was that there was a Kickstarter. It was a, I guess, kind of a video series of, it was called, Tropes Versus Women. It was one of the biggest kind of, why is this such a huge deal stories of, like, the tail end of last year.
It's basically a whole bunch of, and I'm just going to call them misogynists. I'm not feeling particularly nice. I'm very short on patience after this weekend, so I'm going to give up on the roundabout diplomatic language I usually use. Because, you know, I epitomize class in my other life that isn't post-bowel apocalyptic or whatever.
How many times are we going to have the word bowel in this?
Just put it in the title. Be like, poop joke. We'll get so many hits. It'll be great. No. But so Anita Sarkeesian produces videos and they get a whole lot of hate because of misogynists and blah, 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 and men's rights activists who were, from what I've seen, largely also misogynists. I really haven't seen a men's rights activist thing that hasn't been me just, like, wanting to throttle someone. So it's very possible I'm just seeing a very small facet of something that is actually not terrible, but that's not the impression that I'm getting right now. So regardless, all these guys and others and whoever descend upon her Kickstarter to freaking tear it apart and tell her she's a terrible person for even pointing shit out. And, you know, you and I, we discussed it actually in a podcast, and it was basically, you know, we came down to, if you don't want to watch her videos, don't give her money and don't watch them. You know, that's the whole vitriol and commentary was just so unnecessary if you really, you know, disagreed with it. So she's released her first video. Did you watch it?
I did, actually.
I did not, because the other thing I pointed out was that I had no particular interest in her videos. So I just didn't put in for the Kickstarter. I wasn't about to flip out on her about anything. She could do what she wants.
So how
was the video?
Okay. So I come from this from the first time I heard of this woman was the Kickstarter ordeal, right? I mean, I'm not the biggest YouTube troll anyway, as far as, like, really going on to YouTube a lot of places. The only thing I really used to go to YouTube for a ton was gameplay videos of certain games and then music videos. And then Vivo hit, and I don't do that anymore because I just go to Vivo. So, like, I'm not the biggest YouTube watcher anyway. So, I didn't really... Huh?
You watch on YouTube? I have a show that I follow that's on YouTube.
Do you?
Yeah, it's Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which is a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice. And I live with two guys. Pride and Prejudice is so chick lit, it hurts, you know?
Yeah, really.
And not to say that guys who wouldn't be interested in this, you know, I'm not trying to, like, overly gender it or anything like that. But I do live with two guys who have no frickin' interest in chick lit whatsoever. So, you know, they're 10 or 15 minute episodes twice a week, and I come home, I'm all excited to watch it, and I sit down, and I can just feel their wither. They wither as soon as they realize it.
So that's...
YouTube is not a terrible place to watch stuff, you know.
It's not. Right,
you know, if you're not going for specific content, I don't know people who... I admit I have my moments where I go trolling for, like, cute puppy videos or something dumb like that, but it's not a specific place I go to all the time as a community.
Yeah, like, YouTube, normally, if I'm looking for stories, YouTube is my last stop. And it's really because I haven't been able to find anything anywhere else. Like, or I go there for a trailer. Like, I'm just not a big YouTube person. But anyway, so I went ahead and I've watched this. You know, I'm interested, right? I mean, I'm not to say that I've read some of the headlines on some of her other videos and things like that. And I can know just from some of them that I probably won't agree with all of her her videos or her stances on anything. But
you're also a grown-up human being who responds reasonably to things he disagrees with, so...
So I just don't watch it. Or if I watch it, I go, yeah, I think that's a load of shit, but then I don't care, right? It doesn't affect my day. Like, it's just whatever. So I watched this one. That was kind of interested. And to be honest, it was actually very good. There's a lot of... I mean, I'm pretty... I'm not going to say I'm like the, you know, almanac of gaming knowledge, but I know my fair share. And it was actually, I did learn a few things about, especially about Nintendo. And I knew some of the things. One of the most interesting things she points out is kind of, I mean, of course, this episode in particular focuses on the damsel in distress, right? So, of course, for anyone who's played video games for any amount of time, that is a recurring I mean, that's a recurring trope that's used a lot, right? It's also used a lot in movies and TV shows and books and whatever.
Have you seen the new cover image that was on, like, some film magazine of Lois and Superman for Man of Steel?
I've seen it on Twitter, but I actually haven't able to look at the image. I've just, like, seen a clip. I haven't seen the whole thing.
I did a write-up on Women Reading Comics. You need to go look at it, dude. Because it's that same thing you're talking about with, the damsel in distress. And in this particular image, if I was going to cast anyone as that, it would actually be Superman and not Lois. And not even in an overt way, like they're making fun of the trope. It just, it is literally Lois standing in front of Superman as if she's the one shielding him. And I just was like...
Really?
Yes.
And that's awesome.
That was so cool. I lost my shit.
That's the thing, right? There's a lot of stuff that has the... And, of course, Nintendo is the biggest... one of the biggest proponents of this.
Oh, wait. Speaking of which, did you see the guy who hacked Donkey...
yes!
What is the name of that game?
He hacked the original Donkey Kong because
Donkey
he wanted
Kong.
His
Sorry,
daughter to
the
play... and it's funny, right? That's perfect because that's actually talked about in here. That's actually one of the first examples of it's used because Mario started out... You know, as a different character, he basically is a nameless, you know, character that was going up the thing to save Pauline, who then became a Princess Peach.
Right. So this is early iteration of Princess Peach. So this dad, who's an awesome dad, hacked the game to just basically switch those two sprites, and it's like I watched that and it was perfect.
It was cool. I loved that. And that's the thing, right? You're trying to give your daughters and who are playing games and girls playing games, you know, some... And there's some games that have that. You know, we'll talk about Tomb Raider later and some other stuff. But, you know, still, it's kind of cool. You know, that's kind of neat. But Nintendo tends to be one of the bigger... Their main series is all about saving the princess countless time and time again. One of the things they showed was, like, the... it was a Double Dragon... and they've shown that iteration a few times, and it's funny. Like there's actually it's pretty interesting. Even if you don't agree that, you know, again, this doesn't need to be singled out to video games. This trope is used everywhere, and a lot of these tropes are. But again, there's no reason to not like. It's kind of like the people who, you know, this happens in comics a lot, right? I'm a comics fan or whatever. There's a lot of things that happen in comics, and it's kind of like, yeah, they happen everywhere else. That doesn't mean we can't analyze it as to why they happen in comics. Can we get rid of some of them? You know, can we get rid of some of these things? I imagine in future episodes...
Your own beloved Gail Simone came up with the Women in Refrigerators website.
Exactly.
So, if you... Like, I'm not going to explain what the reference of that is. If you follow the show and are a comics fan, you know. And if not, it's worth looking up, so go for it. But, so, the development of women as into actual characters. And it's kind of funny because if you... Oh, gosh. You know, let's not just go into a whole history of how women became these weird secondary objects rather than actual characters. You're watching the Women versus Tropes video... And she goes into, you know, the video game history as opposed to, you know, of course, all of history, which has a long view of such things. And does she have, like, a conclusion she comes to, or does she just come up with a bunch of... how does the show format?
The show format, she goes and kind of... It's a lot of examples. It kind of ends the same way we were talking. It's kind of honestly in a very conversational, hey, let's not ignore the elephants in the room. Here are some classic examples of why this became a trope. and look at it, right? Don't hide from the fact that, look, it's here, 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 here. It's been used all throughout. And these aren't even half the examples, right? So let's just kind of acknowledge that it's a thing, that it happens. And maybe we can actually, you know, again, she even states, like, it's not something that's exclusive to the games industry. And she even says at some points, it's not like I won't play games. Zelda comes up, right? As one of the main, as a series that does this a lot. And while there are a few entries in the series that have had Zelda actually be more than the object or the prize or the thing to be rescued at the end, the sole motivation of the character, it's few and far between compared to the times that she has been used that way.
I do remember she had a clip or something. I do remember some people, I witness a lot of arguments. This is the thing about spending all day on the internet, and you just end up bearing witness to many, many internet arguments. And I think one of them was a discussion about whether or not Zelda was a strong character. And, of course, some of it spiraled off into flame war, and some of it was just people making good points back and forth. You know, I personally have always named Link, because you can name Link in most of the games. I name him Zelda. So, really, Zelda's has always been a strong character for me.
Four of you. But you had to manipulate the game to do that.
I did.
Yeah.
But it's really funny talking to Ganondorf, because he both rails at you, Zelda, and then, you know, pines after Zelda, and it's just like, dude.
It was really interesting. I think the best story in there was and it's one I knew before, but I didn't know to the extent, like, I'd heard about it, but I hadn't heard all the details. And one of the cool examples she uses is the Star Fox Adventures game that came out for GameCube. And, of course, before that, it was supposed to be, like, Dinosaur Island, and the main character was a girl. And she was kind of a native to the island. It wasn't related to Star Fox at all. And then they kind of, about 2 years into its development, Shigeru Miyamoto, of course, you know, well-known Nintendo, head of Nintendo over there and stuff like that. He actually kind of was the instrumental force in getting Star Fox, the name and the brand, kind of put into the game. Also, having Fox McCloud replace her as the main character. Also, and it's kind of funny because it's one of those things you don't realize, it's kind of funny. She basically became the sole reason that he was, you know, his whole purpose was to rescue her from her little prison or whatever. And then they made her very scantily clad. And then the weapon that she had, that in her time in the game as the main character she was using all the time, they gave it to him. So it was kind of like...
Gosh, they really did just like...
Yeah, they just hosed her, right? This character that was originally the main character, she had some cool moves or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of... That's one of the biggest, like, examples. And it's kind of interesting. I didn't realize all the thing in there. For any... Whether you agree or not, I think just taking the video on its own merits and watching something that's actually... It looks like she did her research. It looks like she, like, actually is basing this on a lot of fact... As far as, hey, look at this. This situation happened here. This is what she doesn't go in and have a lot of rhetoric. It's a lot of just kind of presenting the facts and kind of making some, you know, some assumptions from there. I mean, it's not, you know, blasphemy here. Like, I watched it and I went, okay, you know, I'm going to watch the others in the series. And I'm interested.
So here's the thing. Have you caught wind of the particular controversy surrounding this first video release?
What is the particular?
I use the word controversy lightly because it's really kind of super bullshit. But
what? Okay, well, I mean, a lot of the controversy surrounding this video has been super bullshit. But
this is more of the same. Super
okay,
bullshit.
What is it?
Some of the men's rights activists, and there's specifically one who I think goes by the title of, like, Awesome Atheist or something. I probably shouldn't even be giving him a shout-out or whatever. But she turned off comments on the video.
Yes.
You know, anybody with two brain cells goes for good reason, you know? Like, who wants to deal with the vitriol again? She made a video, and, you know, and she doesn't want to really have to listen to your stupid bullshit. I think that's fair. But the guy is, like, flipping out about her basically cutting off discourse and critique.
I did see that, I actually went and read the comments. I read a lot of the comments on the YouTube video, which that's an exercise in just whatever yourself.
You were a brave
soul. Reading YouTube comments at all for any video is just, to me, it's like, it shows exactly why I'm afraid of comments on my own stories and shit, right? I'm terrified of comments because I'm like, it's whatever. But I read through hers. I did see some of that. It wasn't the comments on the video. It was actually, like, comments on a story about the video. It was on, like, Kotaku, or it was, might have been Kotaku, it might have been another website. But basically, it was a story about the video, and then they had comments on that. Because, of course, it won't allow it on her YouTube page. And I understand to a point. Okay, you, I guess almost like putting your, you know, if you're gonna talk about this all the time, if you're gonna be kind of, you know, on the pulpit of this, so to speak, and you're eager to talk about it, then you actually post your, one of your, you know, main talking points is this video, right? It's the first part of a series. So you put this video up there, and then you don't allow people to talk about it, comment on it, or whatever. And I saw one that was a comment that was made, and it was like, okay, here's the reason. Everyone lost the right to do that when the original Kickstarter was posted, and evidently, everyone acted like fucking 5-year-olds. Also, everyone was like completely went over the line of criticism and disagreeing, and was just outright rude and hate speech coming out all this. You kind of lost the right? Of course, she's gonna turn it off. Like, it makes sense. The Kickstarter thing was such a huge debacle as far as that. There was so much crap put out there. You know, I mean, it's. And I don't understand. Also, while we're talking about that, because I saw the story, again, this is an aside, but I saw the story today, and it irked me for the same reasons, okay? Do you watch The Walking Dead? I can't remember. I know we talked about
I don't. I just lost interest. I kind of, it's like, I've read enough of the books, and I know it's, like, more human drama stuff, and to be honest, I understand the appeal of human drama, but it's not my favorite genre. So I'm like, I'm happy to just kind of catch spoilers now and again and check out some of the cool characters. Like, I've never actually seen Michonne in the show, but from what I can tell, she's pretty bitchin'. So,
she's really badass in the book. And she's really cool here, too. But, okay. So there's a character in the show named Andrea. Andrea has been a reoccurring character since the first season, whatever. And evidently, and I was amazed by it. I didn't know this. Evidently, in one of the episodes, she accidentally... Now, there's another character named Daryl. Daryl's like a huge fan favorite character. It's one of the, you know, fan favorites is probably like him and Rick, which are the two, basically have become kind of the two main characters.
Okay.
Daryl's a huge fan favorite. He's not in the books at all. Like, he's a completely original character for the show and everything. Okay? So, evidently, in one episode, and I forgot this happened, okay? In one episode, Andrea is doing something kind of stupid and way out in the brush or whatever, mistakes Daryl for a zombie coming out of the thing. So she's got a sniper rifle or whatever, but she can't, like, it's an old one in the scope, whatever, doesn't work all the way. So she shoots him accidentally because she sees something coming from the woods and triggers it and whatever. It's a little earlier on. So
I assume you're bringing this back around somehow, right?
Yes, this is going to happen. She nicks him in the arm. Okay, this is in the show, mind you. Okay, she nicks him in the arm, and it's kind of like, what the fuck? Yeah, you shoot me, whatever, okay? And then the episode moves on, and whatever. So, circa now, I saw a story that it came out that she actually, because she did that, received death threats from, I won't call them fans, because to call them fans would be to insult fans. So basically, numerous dumb fucks out there sent her death threats because she shot in the fake universe that is The Walking Dead this character in the arm. She actually received like hate mail and threats and, oh my god, I'm gonna kill you and this
and
that.
The part that I love about this is the way you're like, this is just really stupid and surprisingly bad, and I'm like, just like, what? Really? Like this surprises you anymore?
It's fake. It's fake. It's a show. It's not like she really shot him outside. Like, God on earth, like, it's just, it boggles my mind. I see shit like this, and then I see these stories, and I read these comments or whatever, and it's just all this huge pile of dumb fuckness. I just can't stand it.
You can't like, handle just, it. You're like, God damn
it. It just bothers me. And so, yes, but the video, what I would say to someone who is like, you know, whatever, whatever, watch the video. It's actually informational. It's it's actually got some really good stuff in there. And if you don't agree with, you know, I'm not saying you have to agree with everything she says, but people gave her money. I didn't, but people gave her money to produce these videos. At this point, she's producing what they paid for. She can have comments on, or she cannot have comments on, and it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? She got the money. They're getting the content they want. Like, fuck off. Really, that's all... That's all that can be said. Like, there's nothing else to be said. So you can start your, you know, your little shit about, oh, well, she's not addressing the people. Like, this, she's not fucking running for president. She's producing videos about games. Okay?
And your problem is not that she's not addressing the people. The problem is that she's not addressing you. And guess what, fuck truck? Maybe you're not worth
fuck truck.
Time. So, and the other thing, too, is, you know, like, they complain that they can't comment on her video, and yet there is the entirety of the rest of the internet available to them, but that's not good enough somehow, you know? So,
well, no,
I mean,
because they have to comment on her
hair. It's just a really transparent
Facebook
ploy for attention rather than an actual complaint.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. Also, I wasn't aware we had a men's advocacy group. So...
Oh, do me a favor... Since you're feeling brave and reading YouTube comments, go ahead and look up men's rights activists, MRAs for short, if you prefer, and you will just be in for such a treat.
Do we have that? So we have our own group? I didn't know this. Also, well, it turns out, I learned this the other day too, so this is like a whammy. I've learned that, so we have a men's, we have this group, right? And then also, Spanish people have like their own NAACP.
Well, that's probably more legit than MRAs.
And I didn't realize this. Like, we have, like, all these little societies now. I have all these little groups that want to, like, help me.
They do. You need help, clearly.
They want to help me make my taco card a reality.
So, the thing... Okay, again, from what I've seen of men's rights activists, I haven't felt brave enough to go looking because... If it is what I think it is, my brain will explode and there's only so much I can handle in a day. A lot of the things that they complain about are actually misogyny. But it's things like being expected to pay for dinner on dates. My eyes roll with that one involuntarily. Or the child support system, which tends to favor the mother for custody. You know, and then they're stuck paying child support. There's other little things like that, but it's a lot of stuff that is actually caused by the patriarchy. You know, the mother being chosen more often than not for custody is actually because of a perception that she, as the female, is more equipped to handle caretaking and is the one who is supposed to be taking care of the children. You know, and the, you know, the having to pay for dinner is the expectation that the woman should submit to the man. You know, so it's a lot of people being very misunderstanding exactly what it is they're fighting. And so some of it is just like, you just want to scoop them up and be like, babies, no.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and move on from this wonderful topic.
Yes. My babies, my sweet babies.
Because this has slid off the rails. Anyway, what
like,
I would
I
say is...
MRAs and you were like, really? And I was like, oh, do it. I dare you. And you, you know... You're like Marty McFly. I call in the first two movies or whatever. I call you chicken, and you're like, "What?"
Yeah, that's what Jason says. I do. She basically, it's reverse psychology. You tell me not to go do it, I'm gonna go do it.
So, but that's cool because you know what is also underhanded and in the shadows and otherwise manipulative until you die from it.
I'm so eager to hear.
I'm making the face. Can you feel the face?
I can't feel the face. Good lord.
I got the big shit-eating grin on. So they released 4 screenshots from the new Thief game. So here, I have to ask you just real quick before I go into my own, like, oh my god. Have you ever played the Thief games, Matt? Are they
not
a thing for you?
I have not actually ever really gotten to play them.
Neither have I. They've always been the PC games I always see at the discount bookseller in their meager PC game section. And it always seemed like one of those games that has, like, cool cover art, but on the inside is just hilariously bad. I could be wrong about that. Obviously, it has a huge following. I'm probably wrong about that. But I didn't realize Thief... I don't, this is going to sound really condescending. I didn't realize Thief was a real game until I saw these 3-4 screenshots. And then I started looking into Thief and realizing, you know, what the fan base is and the game's origins and getting really interested in it. Unlike Bioshock, where I'm trying to play the former games... to get a feel for the gameplay, I might actually just pick up Thief 4 blind and go for it, because holy shit, do these screenshots look amazing.
Okay, it looks gorgeous. All right, it's from these shots. Now, I knew Thief has... I know the reputation of Thief. Thief was, of course, and this one looks like it too. Eidos publishes these games, or develops these games. And I've known about the first three have a very big cult following. Very much first person, you know, I mean, first person, Splinter Cell, walking around. You really do try and stay in the shadows. You know, you don't do a lot of attacking. You really are, for all intents and purposes, a thief. It's not a, you know, sometimes Assassin's Creed can be, you know, if you want to go balls to the wall in an instant, you can. And in these games, it's more of, no, you're a thief. You're not Rambo. And you don't, you know, you actually do have to kind of really focus on sneaking and things. So I've known about them. They've mostly been on PC. I've never really had a PC to be able to play them since, like, days of, like, Command & Conquer, you know, the first Red Alert and shit. Like, that was the last time, and Unreal. That was the last time I played, like, really had a PC where I was playing a lot of games on it. And... so these kind of always slip past my radar.
Right.
The game looks gorgeous. I've heard it's I've heard people are kind of comparing it to Dishonored, but it's kind of funny because Dishonored was originally compared to Thief. So
that's funny too. See, I haven't played Dishonored, so I don't know. But these screenshots, do you want to know what they remind me of?
What?
The Batman games.
They do look very Arkham-ish.
And they look Arkham-ish, and it's the sneaky bits and the hanging off the rooftops and the diving from above and sneaking up from behind people. And as fun as the combat was in Arkham, in the Batman games, for me, the stealth stuff was funner. Because that funner, I speak great English on podcast.
Was funner.
But, you know, for me, that was the feature of the Batman games. And that when we liked the Batman games because they had a little bit of something for everyone. So the people who really love the combat and doing combos and stuff. Whenever I got into combat, it was just mash the buttons up a whole bunch until everything's falling down, you know?
Exactly.
And that worked, and that was great. So, but for me, you know, it was sneaking around. It was hanging from the frickin' gargoyles. My favorite maneuver is literally hanging upside down from the gargoyle and snatching dudes up off the sidewalks and the catwalks and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
So, you know, if this is that kind of gameplay, then, yeah, I will probably be, like, super all over that.
It looks phenomenal. There's no really talk of when that's going to come out. I mean, it's due out in 2014, but there's no... You know, I mean, there's nothing really that says when exactly, but it will say it does say it will be available for PCs and next gen consoles. So of course, this is looking like a PS4 or 720 or whatever the heck the next Xbox game is called. This is looking like one
well,
of those.
Well, wait, yeah. Do you really think I would call it a 720?
I don't know. As of right now, the code word is Durango, and I'm hoping I would rather have 720 than a Durango.
It's like 360-2, you know, like, let's go the Final Fantasy naming route.
Or, no, well, then it would have to be called, like, Green Mile by Sleep, Descended from Darkness System. Something.
Wow, Matt, you're an expert at naming Final Fantasy games. I bet you actually were working for the company in the first place. Good job.
Something completely stupid. And off the wall. I love Square.
The Xbox,
but...
the spirits within. The Xbox was within you the whole time, reaching your chest. There's the Xbox 4.
The glowing X within.
Oh my god, I think we just built their ad campaign too. And
I really
do. You just
do
the Xbox ring on your chest, and you just push the button, and your chest opens up, and there's your Xbox.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at this,
layout.
I'm looking at this layout here, and as we get getting to more and more topics, I'm realizing this is like J-Dot's like favorite games that she wants show. Because, like, the next one I have here...
The next topic is totally yours. You didn't even send me a link for it, I guess, so I couldn't ruin it by looking at it, so...
What are you talking about?
Topic three, TNMT downloadable announced. No link. I had to try to Google it, and I came up with every TNMT video game that ever existed, and I couldn't remember the name of the one that they just announced, so...
Okay, well, I skipped one then in the layout, my bad. I actually was like, oh, it's Shadowrun, but it makes sense. I forgot that was in there. Okay, so, TMNT, there's a new downloadable title that's coming. Probably, it's actually coming later this year. It's based on the cartoon. The graphical style, there was a small trailer put out and some screenshots and things like that. The environments and everything, it looks pretty. But again, you know, every screenshot can look pretty. But it still looks nice to me. I've seen some stuff online that are like, well, it doesn't really have the art style of the show. To me, it did, especially in the turtles themselves. To me, it looks really nice. It looks fun. But again, I need to get more of a glimpse. The trailer that they released has little snippets of gameplay throughout. Biggest important thing for me, though, is, and I've been watching the show more and more, and I'm actually really enjoying the show. The sense of humor and some of the characters and stuff that they put a unique spin on. I really kind of like it. And I have an... Well, we'll get to that in the collardables, because I actually did get something related to the Turtles universe as well. It looks fun. My thing is, the most important thing about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game is the look. Make it fun. Give it a sense of humor. Also, it needs to be really good co-op. You don't have to do, like, crazy innovations to gameplay. You don't have to, like, give me a straight-up, I'll brawl, I'll hit combos and do all this other shit. I don't care. If it's really fun with a buddy, and I can be Raphael and swap to Donatello when I die and want to change of pace, I'm happy. You don't have to do a bunch of shit. Have me fighting a bunch of Mousers. Have me fighting Bebop or Rocksteady. I don't care. Like, have me fight them 8,000 times. I don't care. Just make the combat fun and make it fun with other people, and I'm sold.
Yeah, there's some games that I've played, like the Lego games, I would probably actually really never play by myself, but because I know they have fun co-op, I'll pick them up, because running around smashing shit with your friends is good times.
It's fun.
You know, the Mario game for the Wii, what was that, Mario Galaxy?
Yeah.
You know, I played through the game, and it was all right, but the greatest thing for me was that it had a really great co-op mode, you know, and that was how I got through most of that game, and why it's one I really highly recommend. You know, Portal 2, obviously, all about the co-op. Co-op can definitely carry a game, for sure, and a turtle game can go either way, because the turtles... do have a strong history of cheese.
But it's awesome cheese, and it's normally on pizza, and pizza is wonderful.
And pizza is wonderful.
I want a playable Casey Jones.
I think you're right, that if they have good co-op, it won't even matter what they put in the game, as long as you get to run around with your friends being Ninja Turtles.
Exactly. And a Casey Jones. I want a playable Casey Jones. One thing that, another game that came out actually, it hasn't come out yet. It's actually more and more we're starting to see of it. It's a game that actually we had talked about last show, cause it was kind of on your radar for one of your looked at games for 2013. And that would be Shadowrun.
Did you watch the video?
I did actually. I'm eager to see what you thought.
It's so dreamy. I got about halfway through the video before you called, you know, there's a lot of fiddly bits that are based on the Shadowrun rules, and the Shadowrun rules can be a bit bloated, I guess might be a kind way to put it, but I think that works better for a video game that you're just sitting down and tinkering with than for a tabletop game where you just really want to get, you know, you want to talk about co-op mode again. You know, when you're doing co-op with your friends at a table and everything takes a billion years because everyone has to nail down a million fiddly bits, it can get a little wearying. But when you're just sitting around by yourself going, you know what I want to do? It's like tinkering with Legos or whatever. You know, I want to tinker with this thing and build characters and screw around and see what happens. And that, I think, is a great deal of fun. So it looked great. It had a little bit of a Neverwinter Nights feel in terms of the isometric and the movement and the gameplay and the menu choices and everything, and the party system. I'm not saying it's a direct ripoff or anything like that. I'm not actually trying to make that comparison. I'm just saying when I saw that, I got the same excitement that I see when I play the Neverwinter games. obviously we're watching two of the developers play through the game, so we're not really going to get, you know, any of the glitchy bits. It's going to be their smoothest gameplay that they can produce for us. But it looked really good. I got a little tingly. I was like, yes, this is a thing that I will pay cash monies for.
Yeah, I gotta say, one of the things I loved, I guess the most refreshing part about the video was that, to me, it felt more like you could watch, it felt more like it was generated by Kickstarter. And the reason why was that normally you watch gameplay videos that are run by developers or things like that. They're very professional, very, they're kind of, they have that PR feel. Okay, they have that scripted, we're going to hit this point, and this point, and, you know, we need to get through this, here are our talking points, whatever, and they relay that in the video. And there's a sense of, you know, there's this kind of serious tone throughout, and they might keep it lighthearted, but they're still, it's very scripted. And what was great was, I watched this video, and I gotta say, I just enjoyed it, just watching these two play. Because you have
the guy who's actually running the character, every time he murders something, he cackles madly, and I'm like, yep, that guy's a PC. You know? Like,
yeah, right?
There's a distinct joy in the gameplay, and obviously joy of having made this thing that really comes across, and I did enjoy that too. It did actually make it a lot more exciting to watch the trailer.
Yeah, and the gameplay looks it looks great. It reminds me a little bit, and probably just because it's the last isometric game I played, it reminds me of XCOM a little bit.
Okay, yes, I didn't play XCOM, but I probably would have gotten the same thing too.
Yeah, and it's just because, again, the comparison, I'm not saying that one's ripping off the other, I'm just saying that because that's the last type of game that is in this manner that I played, it did remind me a little bit of that. A little bit slower paced, but to me, what was really cool was it really seems like you're going to be able to customize almost everything about your character and as far as traits go, and, you know, changing how your character, like, it has that RPG feel of doing that, but it also has the gameplay of an XCOM, and in XCOM, it's very much a story, and the guys that you have aren't really, you know, they're kind of, until you level them up a lot, they're kind of disposable, and you're not really leveling up their abilities, their innate abilities, or, you know, leveling up a trait that's in them. You're leveling up their skills as far as, you know, how far they can shoot, what weapon damage they do. And this looks kind of a nice little blend of both, where you're going to actually be developing your character more, and also, you know, and unlocking all these things. I liked the way it looked. I liked that you could use conversations and things. Like, one of the cool things was if you're, you know, part of a certain faction and you're neutral and you walk in there, they won't immediately shoot at you. Like, they're going to have a conversation with you first. And then at that point, you could actually, like he does, pulls out a sword and slashes. And they're like, well, you could probably bribe him too. But
I don't know, how did it go? It was like, I need to see your papers. He's like, sure, they're right here. And then he pulls out a katana and runs the guy through.
And the other guy,
who's obviously trying to do, knows who his friend is, but still feels he should do at least nominal damage control, goes, well, you know, there are these other options you could have done too. You don't have to be a psychopathic murderer. While at the same time, I think bravely acknowledging that most of us are just going to go through and be psychopathic murderers.
Most of us are just going to kill the dude. But the option is there for you to, like, win him over or bribe him and all these other things.
Yeah, for your second or third playthrough when you feel like trying something new.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other cool things, which was really neat, was I didn't realize there was going to be such a, basically a sandbox. So included with the game is the environments are really nice looking. These, you know, isometric view and everything. Really vibrant colors. You know, the landscapes look really nice. The thing is, they're including that builder and that editor that they use to put the game together with the game, so that people can actually put together their own places, their own maps, their own kind of mini campaigns, and it's kind of embracing that, you know, that tabletop mode of build your own campaign.
Here's a question. I mean, like, you know, Minecraft is basically all that, but a lot of games include, like I said, referencing the Lego games or whatever, and other MMOs and stuff include, like, level editors. Have you ever used those? I mean, has that ever been a thing that you really enjoyed doing?
I've used them sometimes, but mostly in, like, a Little Big Planet environment or something along those lines. I know Halo has, like, Forge and some other games have them. Minecraft is really the only one that I've really seriously dipped into. Other than that, I always want to build all this cool, awesome stuff. I just never do. Like, I end up just scrolling through other people's stuff
Right.
and playing
I'm
it.
kind of come to the conclusion a lot of times where I'm like, I really want to make this thing, but I don't want to take the time to make it. I just want it to magically appear from the thing I'm thinking of in my head.
Pretty much. That's how I am. I have all these grand plans, and I'm gonna build this, I'm gonna build that, and then I never do. Like, it never comes to fruition, and that's fine. But what's really cool about this is it depends on the editor. Sometimes some editors can actually be really easy to learn. The learning curve is not so steep, and you can actually build something pretty cool. What would be neat here, I love the fact that you can actually recruit other people in your party and things like that and have your group. What would be really cool here is if you could do that type of thing. I like that the platforms it's on PC, Mac, and I'm probably going to end up grabbing it on Mac. It would be cool if I could go ahead, build a little small campaign, and then send it to you to go play it. And vice versa. I love the idea of it. Will I
Sure.
ever actually
If you
do
could
it?
do that, that would actually be, you're right. No. That would be, because they said you not only have the option to just build it's not just the terrain you're building, but you can have the triggers, you can build the NPCs, you can set up actual majiggers. I
You can
barely know the
actually
words.
build
Word jar,
a
forget it.
you
But
can
point
build
being,
a side point, like a side mission. You can build a whole entire side mission.
yeah, and just send it to your friend and have them run their characters through it.
And have them play it. And that would be kind of cool, right? I mean, there's some really cool things. You have a favorite comic story, you have a favorite setting, you have a favorite whatever. You could basically make your own little mini
They
version.
built theirs, and here's another cool idea. They built theirs in Seattle, right? They're in post-apocalyptic future, whatever, Shadowrun version of Seattle.
Yeah.
You could build your hometown. Like, I could, like, you're right, like your favorite comic book shop and all that. I could build little mini bits of Pittsburgh and have Shadowrun
Exactly.
Pittsburgh.
Or I could just make it the Shadowrun version of Sleepless in Seattle and have a small radio station and then have them go to New York and then have the heart on top of a building and then have like my little version of Meg Ryan like run up the tower and then a little
And
kid who
the
looks
other
like
character
Jonah.
has to somehow navigate obstacles to get to the top to meet Meg Ryan and make smoochies.
Exactly. But then Meg Ryan pulls out a katana and beheads him and then it's done. That's how it ends. Drop the mic. Awesome. That's how my campaign ends. It's a total fucking mission. That's how it ends. It's awesome. Anyway.
Love you, Matt.
How it ends. It's awesome. Don't steal it. No one
That's
better
actually how
steal
I'm
that.
planning to end this episode, so spoilers.
Nobody better steal that. That's mine. I get to make that. I'm just saying. I better not see that shit pop up on Reddit tomorrow. Anyway, whatever.
I think it's about time for our break, and I guess we'll find out when we came back if I get to follow through with my katana plan.
This is true. We'll be right back.
Are back. I hope you enjoyed the sounds of me murdering Night of Oa horrifically atop of a tall building as ninjas fell from the sky and wrecked all of his shit. I'm sure that's exactly the sound clip that he left in there. So we are back with collardibles,
Red
because I have
roses
reassembled
too.
Night of Oa, realizing I needed to do the rest of the show. And I'm leading off with the title of the article from Geektired is Badass Iron Man Nikes. And I will be God's honest truth, I sent this to Night of Oa because I was honestly surprised he didn't write this article. And you're laughing because you know it's true.
It's very
because,
true. Because,
you know, Night of Owl writes for Geek Tyrant and Game Tyrant, who are kind of a merged website. And so as soon as I saw, you know, a Bitch and Shoe article on the site, you know, he and I have had a few Bitch and Shoe discussions and he's brought them up before. I immediately scrolled back up to the top as soon as I saw the shoes, expecting to see, you know, by Matt Mueller, because he goes by a professional name, whatever. And so it's by some other guy, who I'm sure is a very nice dude. So, I, you know, knowing that Matt had probably already seen it, I sent it along to him for the show today just so I could razz him a little about his affection for shoes. But I'm going to be honest, the Iron Man Nikes are pretty cool. They are shiny as shit, as they should be, because it's the red and gold Iron Man costume, which is also shiny as shit. And I'll be honest, I would totally wear these.
Oh, I'd own these in a heartbeat. I would own these in a heartbeat. Shout out to Joey Parr over at Geek Tyrant who wrote this. I gotta say, I'm not the only one who loves awesome looking shoes.
Yes.
These are badass. Okay, I love these. There's actually some Captain America Reeboks that I've been looking for forever, and I can't find them. Other than that, though, I would totally own these.
But we're both on board with these shoes, though. I mean, I would. They're tennis shoes, and they're fucking bright red. And with gold, shiny ass gold accents, and
they're badass.
I would totally put on a pair of actual jeans.
Okay, so one thing that was really cool, because those are sweet, and right now they're kind of limited, but I'll have a link to the story, and you can kind of see if you can get them. They're limited edition, though, so you will need to kind of get them soon, because otherwise you probably won't be able to get your hands on them unless you want to pay some exorbitant amount on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, they're already $175, and, you know,
bad for shoes.
I mean, $175 for shoes is actually... especially for fashionable shoes, is not the end of the world. I have spent more than my fair share of time on a shoe website called Fluvogs or on Zappos admiring some very pretty shoes that are in that range. And so for me, you know, you say $175 for a fucking bright red Iron Man sneakers, and I go, that sounds reasonable. Let's do this. You know, let's go fuck it up. Let's get some sneakers. But
One other thing that's pretty cool, aside from that, is I actually got a belated Christmas present.
Oh, yeah?
From this last couple days here, and it's awesome because I got one belated Christmas present. I also got a just because from Anissa, just because she loves me and I'm a nerd.
Come here.
Huh?
So I'm gonna throw up on you. You can't be laying that mushy shit on me. You know how that stomach issues right
she
now.
She loves Jesus. Me. And she showed her love by buying me a Donatello action figure.
Mm.
Yeah, buddy. It's awesome. It's
I didn't
sick.
Realize that was your transition. All right, so yeah, you mentioned that you got a couple...
I got toys. I got toys. I got awesome toys. It was kind of cool because...
Wait, I see your Grimlock. Which Grimlock did you get? I'm spoiling it now. Which Grimlock did you get?
That's so cold-blooded. You killed... I was gonna say it in the Grimlock voice.
Do it anyway. Fuck
well,
it.
No, I'm not gonna do it now. Rewind. No, I need your pity.
So what's this other toy that you got, Matt? Because I know that the Donatello toy is probably very bitching, but I am curious as to your second or late birthday or Christmas present that you got.
Grimlock got a toy. Grimlock toy. Grimlock smash. It's like a mix of Hulk. Stitch, and what sad rendition of Grimlock. I have no idea.
I've been watching my friend play, one of my housemates play Fall of Cybertron,
so
which is again why I suddenly need a Metroplex toy when it comes out in the fall. But when you beat the game, you can replay certain levels as Grimlock.
Yes.
And it
I've
is
seen...
hand-sweatingly good.
I've
so,
seen it. I haven't played that
yet. Having to compare your voice to that Grimlock was a little... I'm not sure I should have let you do that.
My Grimlock sounds more like, you know, like Louis Armstrong than he meant to. Kind of, hey, guys, let me... And then, it's funny, because I was going to say that, and I was going to be like, let me in the pool, guys. But it was like Meatwad. And so, let me in the pool,
guys. So, which Grimlock did you get?
I got a... I don't know what that voice went. I got the awesome Grimlock, and I don't know what he's part of the newest set. He's part of actually the Fall of Cybertron toys.
Oh, okay. So it's that. Yeah, it's probably pretty cool looking. Yeah, because a few years ago, that same housemate I'm watching, I got him the Masterpiece Grimlock, which is still a thing that I sneak in his room to play with sometimes. So.
Yeah, it's badass. It's got the shield and the sword and everything. And here's the thing, and this probably says something for my age. Okay, I remember when I could figure out how to transform a toy without instructions. And evidently that day has passed, because I opened this box and I swear, I opened the pamphlet thing. It's like a fold out of like 4 pages.
It's worse than trying to put together IKEA furniture.
I just wanna transform this thing. I just want him to be a dinosaur. That's all I want, right? And I'm trying.
Well,
I sat there.
There's
I had to get help.
There's a couple things going on. One, you're getting older and don't have probably as much patience to fiddle around and try to figure it out. And two, articulation on toys has been vastly improved since you were a kid. So toys have gotten more complicated, and you've gotten less patient. And the combination of the two probably means you're sitting there staring at the instructions going,
good lord. It took me 20 minutes to get the tail together, okay? Because I had to get help. Anissa had to, like, take it, and, like, she did it in, like, 2 seconds. And I'm like, what the hell?
She did.
And I'm like, oh, you just had to move this and this and this. I'm like, it's a tail. Make it go together. Like, I don't understand why this is so difficult. And then I still don't think I got the legs quite right. Because he was kind of like hobbling around. I was like, what? But what's cool is he lights up. So his, like, I scared the crap out of my cat. Because he lights up red. We were going to try and use it as a laser pointer, but it doesn't.
You just got this cat and it's already kind of in its super shy nervous stage, and you're just traumatizing it further.
No, here's the thing. This cat has gone from super shy to feed me bitches, like, within a matter of a week and a half. Okay?
It's
this
vicious?
Cat. No, he says, feed me, bitches. He wakes up in the morning and just, I swear, I've never heard a cat meow so many times, loudly, at me.
So, true cat fact, cat pitches their meow. They don't do it on purpose, but they pitch their meow to sound like a baby cry. They don't know what babies sound like, but they know when they make that noise, you whip the fuck around. And
are you kidding? That's what they do?
Because your brain goes, oh my god, there's a fucking baby, you know, that needs help.
No wonder.
So, cats are manipulative little bastards, and they make that meow noise. The cat that I rescued does the same thing, follows me around the house and meows. For nothing. He doesn't want anything other than for me to look at him. It's a fun game for him. He goes, meow, and I turn around and go, yes, baby, what can I do for you?
No, mine wants something. Mine wants soft food. Okay? We have this rule. Because he eats, or she eats hard food, and then we'll get back to something that revolves around gaming instead of talking about this anyway.
We gotta try to. We're on the internet. People love, bitches love cats. Let's do this. So your cat, you took this toy.
I scared my cat.
And upon your cat, who has apparently gotten past the I'm too shy to deal with people stage. And that's good. And you fucking, chased her around the house with Grimlock?
No, I'm not evil. I just might have pointed it in her direction and watched her get skittish. That's all I did. And it was funny.
I gotta tell you that Masterpiece Grimlock I got for Phil. One of my favorite things to do with it is to make photo comics and caption it. So, I would recommend taking your Grimlock toy and putting it in fun poses and then captioning it, because it's at least as good as lolcats. It's like lol Grimlock. It's good stuff.
I might actually have to do that. So don't be surprised if you see on Twitter that starts happening over the next week. And you can blame JDot, because she gave me the idea.
JDot knows what's good internet.
It's true. And, what's not good internet is our last topic here before we go and we head out here. We got a sounding off, and basically everyone who hasn't been living under a rock knows about SimCity and how it's another testament to why you shouldn't make games always online. So I'm not going to rehash anything we already don't know. Basically, since the game released, there have been countless issues. A lot of people haven't been able to log on at all or play the game at all. A lot of people have been playing the game, but suffer from crashes or being logged out or whatever kicked off because they're having constant issues. So, recently. They've been really trying over the last week, and it seems like they're ironing out a lot of these issues. They're adding servers. They've done a bunch of software updates, and seems now it's kind of starting to just kind of plateau a little bit. People are just starting to be able to play the game without issues and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was actually a story. One of the defenses that EA and Maxis used when people asked them, of course, the obvious, why can't you just take the Always Online out? Because they actually like took out some features like during the last week and a half to like make the game run better and things like that. And they were like, why don't you just take it offline? Or why don't you just make it to where it doesn't have to have that constant connection and just do that? And wouldn't that solve a lot of these issues? And they were like, no, because the game has been built from the ground up for this idea, because it wasn't just an idea of it wasn't a DRM thing. It was a we want the game to constantly be connected with all these your cities are all connected and you're always going off of each other and trade routes and all these other things. They wanted that
Yeah.
to be a part.
The main complaint that I the response to that that I saw was that a lot of people pre-ordered this game. Why wouldn't you use those pre-orders as a measure of how much server you're gonna need?
Right.
You know, it, like the fact that if you're gonna require that people be connected, and even if it is for gameplay reasons, you know, shouldn't you have done a better job of anticipating what the surge was going to be and being able to accommodate that? And I think that's kind of where I come in. I'm like, games that require you to be always connected are kind of annoying, but I don't find them so awful that it makes them unplayable. But I'm a person who is privileged enough to have a constant internet connection. I mean, that is a thing that happens for me, so I'm not exactly going to be without an internet connection that is going to cause gameplay disruption. I'm fine with it. And then that may be a big, like, I got mine, screw you kind of attitude, but that's kind of what those companies are also, their expectations are, is that the people playing these are people who are online all the freaking time anyway. And I don't think that's completely unreasonable, but I do think it's unreasonable for them to have built a game that requires an online connection and then not have built servers to handle the load.
Right, and they said at one point they were like, well, we tested and we did betas and closed betas, and we just didn't really think, that that was going to be an issue. And it was kind of like, well, at some point, right, you have to. I mean, this is SimCity, it's a popular enough franchise. I can't take the well, we didn't expect it excuse anymore. Like, for some games, for if this were a new IP. And this were a newer developer, and they were making a new IP, and they got a little bombed at first because they just really didn't expect it. I would be more inclined to give them a pass because, well, you can't always predict. For these franchises like Diablo 3, freaking SimCity, these pillars, you know what I mean? And they have this huge following, and they're made by these big companies. There's really no excuse anymore. Like,
Right.
you shouldn't
Hire a
know.
fucking guy who knows his shit. You know,
Like,
you were
make
dealing with a company
servers
with a
and
lot
have
of
enough
money and a lot
room.
of track records and a lot. Well, I mean, I would shouldn't say a lot of money. I don't know their finances, but you certainly have a very strong sales history. So, it's not unreasonable for us to expect that you would, be on top of your shit in actually delivering the product that people paid for. And I think that's really
Exactly.
what it comes down to, is that in this case, the online connectivity was not on the user end a problem, it was on the server end a problem, and that's when it becomes unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, these people paid the game and they can't play it. And I understand that there are patches and things like that. I understand that. But at the end of the day, these people paid and for a product, and you can disagree with everything about the product. You can say it's shit, you can say they lied to me, you can say they, the gameplay wasn't up to par or this and that or whatever. That's all subjective. The thing needs to work.
Yeah, pretty
Like,
much.
there's very few like things where I'll actually give credit to the consumer and go, all right, no, you have a point there, and you can actually I won't get you the because normally I just kind of say stop your bitching and play the damn thing, and if you don't like it, learn from it and don't buy a sequel and move on with your life because it doesn't
And usually
matter.
the response is, they're a business, they're not fucking fan service, get over yourself. They did a thing to
Exactly.
make money. Don't look
In
so
this
shocked,
case, it needs to work. If you sold them a $60 game, it needs to fucking work. And yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. So, but anyway, they seem to be getting that together. It's, from what I've heard, people are really starting to enjoy it and everything. It was never that it was a bad game. It was just that it didn't work half the time. So, you know, we'll go from there. Hopefully they iron those problems out. But we'll see. But before we head out, I think that's it for us. Is there anything you wanted to go over? Anything you wanted to plug?
No. I guess there's me. I don't know. I have a bunch of shit going on. I mean, it's the usual, you know, there's always my webcomic at www.vanitygames.com. We are out of the saga of Manfred, so if you were dodging some mushy-mushy, today's comic was about summoning Cthulhu. So, you know, there's we're definitely back on track for the humor and the relentless irreverence. There's the comics that I write for, womenreadingcomics.com. Today I just posted a bit on some various images. You know, Supergirl has pants now. You know, the new images from Man of Steel with Lois Lane in the forefront that I really like. And Robert Downey Jr. actually, for the Avengers movie, had to choose between having Rhodey or Pepper Potts in it, and he chose Pepper Potts, and I was like, priority straight, good job. So, you know, there's a lot to read over on Women Reading Comics, not just me. And then also, you know, there's my podcast here. You can always find me on Twitter at Vanity Games. You can find me on Google Plus under J.Sloan. You know, you can find me on Tumblr, also on Vanity Games, if you just really want a lot of comics references and animated gifs of today was a blue shell exploding the fuck out of a ninja or something. It was a good time. So, you know, I'm around and certainly findable, and I look forward to, you know, just hit me up, say hello. I'm a very chatty person, and I love talking to people. So let's do this.
You are very chatty. I agree. And you can always get a hold of me at Night of Voa on Twitter. You can also pop me on Google Plus. You can find me there at Night of Voa as well. Of course, I write for Game Tyrant and Geek Tyrant, and we also have a bunch of great other writers over there as well. We're pumping content out daily. So, and also one of the cool things is I started a Pathfinder session recently. I've got about maybe two sessions under my belt now with this new setup, a new character and everything. So I'm actually going to be starting a kind of a bi-weekly dialogue of the session and just kind of what goes on in the characters a little bit.
You need to blog the highlights. Exactly. One of my housemates, Phil, wants to run Pathfinder, so I might be starting playing again myself soon, I hope. So we might have to compare some notes on that.
Rock on. Yeah, I'm excited. It was actually a really good session last time, so I'm going to be starting that probably bi-weekly and popping that up. So look out for that soon. And then started writing more comic reviews and things like that, so you'll be able to catch those on the site. And then setting up a Twitch TV account soon, and I'll be doing some gameplay videos and things like that. So a lot of cool stuff coming in the future here. And but yeah, you can always check us out there and check out my articles over there. And of course, thank you for listening to the podcast. We do appreciate you, every single one. And so until next time, that is a full lid.